All right. Here we go. Another edition of Talking Dodgers. This will be a fun one. Right after football, we talk baseball, and the two guys behind me love it.
We're sports fanatics, people. What can I say? I love my football and I love my Dodgers.
Yeah, especially for a better sport.
Oh my God. Keep quiet over there.
It's going to be great. All right, before we get started, this episode is brought to you by Command Creative Studios. Looking to jump into the podcast world and get started? Looking to jump into the podcast world and start making your own content? Command Creative Studios is your one-stop shop for professional podcasts. With a team of audio engineers, music composers, and graphic designers, Command Creative Studios can get your podcast sounding professional as well as looking professional. For more information, please visit CommandCreativeStudios.com. Don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button. Tell your friends. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus, people.
We're doing this podcast on Thursday. You'll be listening on Friday. So that means we have not watched pretty much any baseball today because the Dodgers had the day off.
No, because there was football.
Remember, keep your toes off the line. That's all I got to say. Toes off the line.
Throw a better pass.
All right, this is what's on deck. What's on deck is brought to you by Max's Car. Go get a Tesla. All right. We're going to talk Yamamoto's return on Tuesday. What's next for Bobby Miller after a disastrous start in Anaheim? Gratterall potentially back in September 6th. So what's that going to make our bullpen look like? Who's getting out of here? We're going to recap the Angel-Dodgers two-game series, and then we're going to preview Guardians-Dodgers coming up this weekend. I guess I can ask Mike and Max how they're doing. We know how they're doing because they're in football mode.
Oh, no, we're not. I'm not in football mode. There's one game. There's another one tomorrow.
And then there's college on Saturday.
I watched college last week.
Well, there's another one.
This is my favorite time of the year. Look at, you can see Robbie get mad.
I'm not mad.
He opened the gates. So tomorrow is Philly and the Packers.
Hey, okay, in Brazil. I don't even know why we're doing that. But here's the deal. This is my favorite time of the year because it's crunch time baseball leading into playoffs.
Yeah, baseball and football starting. And basketball's right around the corner. It's coming. It's a good
basketball is a soft sport.
It's pretty soft now. It is.
It's soft. It's.
I'm not gonna complain.
Everybody flops. I like basketball from the '90s and the maybe the 2000s.
The 2000s was good. The 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk Dodgers.
Mike, you want to lead it?
We can lead it. I was disappointed in our series this weekend, but
he's already off. He's already.
I know we're going to recap the series, but...
We can recap it now if you want.
I just think...
We could do it real quick because one's a good game and one is like, we're not going to talk much about it. Well, we're going to talk about the pitching in both of them. The two most important parts, there's three important aspects of
that series.
It was, what was Ohtani going to do? Turns out, not much. How was Buehler going to do and how was Bobby Miller going to do? Because right now we're still... Our main topic... I feel the last, four or five podcasts
has been pitching.
What's our pitching going to look like in the playoffs? Now that we've got our offense kind of stacked and we know what that's going to look like, I could tell you exactly what our lineups are going to look like versus lefty-righty in the playoffs. It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. We know what that's going to look like. What we don't know what's going to look like is our starting pitching. We're going to talk Yamamoto coming back, what that's going to hopefully look like. There's some small news on Glass now. It's not much. There's a little bit. I'm under the impression I don't think we're going to get Glass now. If we do get Glass now, he's not going to show up until the playoffs. I don't think he's going to do any regular starts. But what does that mean for the other two spots that are needed in the rotation? So that's why talking about Bobby Miller and Walker Buehler is important. Oh, and then you still got Kershaw who's on the IL. So and you got Gavin Stone. So obviously.
I think
pitching's important, so that's what the main things that I take away from this series.
So I mean, I expected. Bottom line was, I was just touch base on it. I expected a sweep, and I did not expect the Angels to challenge us at all.
Well, this is, and Betts was right when he said it. This is like the lower tiers team when they play the Dodgers. It's their World Series.
Fair enough.
So now you got Ohtani coming back into your hometown, and dude, the Angels were pumped. I think the Dodgers were fatigued after that crazy series against Arizona. I think they threw everything they had, like the kitchen sink at Arizona. So then it was time to play the Angels. They were like, we've got a 5 or 6 game lead. we're going to take the foot off the gas a little bit. And
you're not wrong. They had to.
I think that's what it felt like. I think the only people that actually showed up to that game, at least to start that game, that had intensity was Walker Buehler and Ohtani. I think Ohtani overpressed and Walker Buehler showed up the game time. All the hitters, everybody else really didn't get involved until like the seventh inning.
Agreed. I think you're right. I mean, that I think it took a lot for them to... I mean, we talked about it. The Diamondback series was huge for us. We had to go out there and
make a statement.
It was. It was a statement series, and Diamondbacks didn't go away. So I just thought, you know, maybe they wouldn't... You mentioned off-air and pre-production, Robbie. They had a little bit of a hangover for this two-game series, and, you know, the Angels came to play. But split it. We still got a five-game lead in the division. But to pitching, I think it's going to be Flaherty.
Oh, yeah, we have Flaherty.
Flaherty, Stone, Buehler.
First round.
For the first round?
You need three
for the first round.
Flaherty?
Flaherty,
Stone, Buehler.
You could do four. If you had four guys you could really rely on, you could do four if the game actually went.
But you can get by with three.
The fourth guy,
so the wild card, we just talked about it, is Yamamoto.
With a wild card round.
Yamamoto coming back and whatever happens with Kershaw on his toe.
Right. Right now, So you're one, for the healthy guys right now, Flaherty's your one.
Yeah.
I think Gavin Stone's your two.
I agree.
And then now it's like, really, it's Walker, right,
it's got to be Buehler.
It's Buehler. And then, like, we're talking, if Yamamoto, Kershaw, and Glasnow do not come back, then
Buehler's your number three.
It's Bobby Miller's your four. Am I missing somebody? Am I missing someone? No, that's it. Because the other three are on the IL. So then Yamamoto comes back. That pushes Bobby Miller out. We could say that's safe to say. That pushes Bobby Miller out.
Okay.
Glasnow comes back. That probably pushes out.
I put Yamamoto in the bullpen, and you put Glasnow at your four.
I think we might get some piggybacking going on. If Yamamoto's healthy, but they think they can only get 50 pitches out of him, I think you're going to get piggybacking, the piggybacking could be Yamamoto and Walker Buehler. They could piggyback off of each other.
Can you define your definition of piggybacking for me?
Is this what kind of podcast is this?
Well, no. What I'm saying is for baseball.
You'll have a pitcher that starts. He only goes like three or four innings. You bring in another starter.
Got it. Okay.
Or a long reliever, and then he finishes the game.
That's
basically what the piggybacking is.
I got you. Yeah. I can see that.
All right. So let's talk Yamamoto before we actually get into the actual stats of the Angels series. Man, I just got a shooting pain in my head. Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Max, stop messing with your fantasy football teams.
Football? My teams are... Whose phone is going off?
He's making transactions right now.
No, I'm not.
You are making transactions, aren't you?
My lineups are set after I draft.
Oh, jeez.
The bench is only for bye weeks. Never touches it again the whole season. No, for bye weeks. Week one.
Set it and walk away.
Hey, Robbie, do you do fantasy baseball?
I did a couple of years in a row. It's a lot of maintaining.
I can imagine it.
It's fun. It's definitely fun. I actually, you know what? I feel like now that I have a podcast, like that we should do that as well. I think it would
fantasy baseball.
Well, it would make us pay attention a little bit more to the other teams that are not the Dodgers.
What do our listeners think? You want to hear a fantasy baseball podcast?
If you do, do you want to be in the fantasy league with us next season?
Yeah, like, subscribe, leave us some comments.
Ooh, I like where you're at. All right, Yamamoto's return. Let's check this out. Let me read this article.
Before you read this article,
yeah,
I have a question about your opinion on Yamamoto, because you and I have never really talked about him. He pitched before I joined this wonderful podcast that is Talking Dodgers. What was your first take of Yamamoto on the front side before he got hurt? Do you think, what's your opinion on him before you get into this?
Oh, man. So I'll recap how I feel about Yamamoto if you want.
Yeah, I think it's good.
I think it is absolutely nutsos. Nutsos. The Dodgers paid this guy as much money guaranteed, and he never pitched one single Major League Baseball game.
But he was good in Japan, so why is it a problem?
But he was good in Japan, but I just think it's crazy because, I mean, he's very young, injury prone. Maybe, we don't know, because he hasn't pitched that much in an actual Major League Baseball setting. Five-man rotation. Look, he lasted like 76 innings, and then he went out. 74 innings. And then he's been out for the rest of the year. But I know why they got him, because of what they're making off of him as far as like advertising and stuff, because that's a 1-2 punch with him in Ohtani. Like, I get it, but I think it was crazy. When we saw his first game, when he got lit up.
Yeah, I was a little nervous. Great.
But he had shaky starts as far as like the first inning. Like, it seemed like he had issues getting out of the first inning, and then it seemed like something clicked and he became one of our more reliable pitchers. Hopefully he can regain that towards the end of the season. I mean, at some point you got to figure it's a wash, save his arm, and then you start thinking next year, because you have him for, what is it, a 12-year contract? It's a long contract.
Did you see enough for him to be like
considered the number two?
Number one long term in what he's done. What's your opinion of his pitching? Like, just out of the little bit of work.
He's like sneaky lights out. Like, he doesn't seem like he's got like a really, like, he seems like his fastball is not really that fast or has movement, but it actually does. Like, he's very accurate with the way he throws. Like, he can hit his corners when he wants to. Doesn't walk a lot at all. I mean, he's like, this is my opinion from what I saw, like, the last three games.
Yeah.
If you were to take like a Greg Maddux and give him like a 97 mile an hour fastball,
that's what Yamamoto is to you.
He has that potential.
That's a lot. That's high praise.
You said Greg freaking Maddux.
Because he's that accurate for where he wants to put the baseball.
So he can hit his spots.
He seems like he's very smart, and he can make adjustments really, really well. And I don't know if that's just like the game plan that they have, the catcher. I think they have Barnes catching him a lot. Maybe like Barnes had some ideas on like how like his pitching sequence. But I question the pitching sequences for the Dodgers the last like 2 weeks. So
I'm going to ask you one last thing. Do you believe Yamamoto, before you go into this article, could be a true number one and a Cy Young winning pitcher?
I think he could, yeah.
Okay.
I think he could. And it's not because he can like, you know, because he has overpowering stuff. Because he does have that velocity. But I think it's just like he's just very smart on where he puts his pitches at. And that's...
Well, you know it is.
I think that's his number one thing.
One bad spot, someone's going yard on you. So you got to be accurate with your spots.
Bobby Miller that.
All right.
Which we will talk about Bobby Miller. Okay.
Yamamoto.
Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Yes.
Tell your friends, spread us like a virus.
Like a virus.
Like a virus.
Yamamoto returns next Tuesday against the Cubs. Here's an article written by my boy Scott Pollock over at The X. Los Angeles Dodgers will receive important boost in their pitching rotation for the stretch run. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts revealed Wednesday that the plan is for Yoshinobu Yamamoto to return for the Dodgers against the Chicago Cubs. Yamamoto hasn't pitched in a game since June 15th because of tricep injury. Then it goes on to say Yamamoto posted a 2.92 ERA, 1.07 WHIP, and 84 strikeouts in 74 innings during his first 14 starts of the season, and seemed well on his way to being a critical part of the playoff push. So those numbers, Mike, like we talked about, that is pretty darn impressive. A 2.92 ERA, considering his first game, he got lit up.
Yeah.
I think he gave up like 6 or 7 runs against the Padres over wherever we opened the season. I can't remember the name of that city.
It was 5 runs.
It was 5 runs. You're looking right now. I mean, after that, I mean, I think he had another rocky start, which I think was the next start, where he had a really bad inning, like the first inning. And then Fourth start. This is why Max is here.
Happens when we don't have Max?
He's multitasking.
I know. He's picking up free agents in fantasy football, man. And he's bringing us up our stats.
I wonder how much stuff I got wrong in the last podcast that you weren't here.
Right? Anyways. He should have correction highlights when he's on here.
We should. That would be a lot of work for somebody that's not me.
So, my opinion on Yamamoto, or just anybody in general, we've always talked about 3 starts. After your third start, we should know what they are like or what they're going to be long term, and they should be comfortable. But I think it took him 4 starts.
I don't know, man.
No, he was solid. The second and third start,
yeah,
he was solid. Then he was bumpy on his fourth and fifth.
Who's he playing
solid the next two?
Who did he play in his three? Who did he play in his fourth and fifth start?
St. Louis and the Cubs.
So okay, those are shaky ones, and
those were good.
Those are good. Okay. Yeah. But the one that was impressive is when he played your boys over in the Bronx. So can you pull that up? Because that's the one that I'm hearing.
7 innings, 7 Ks, 2 hits.
No runs.
That's huge.
But he, like, if
he
you
went
look
seven? It's good.
If you look at his velocity, he was up a tick that whole game. It's like he knew, like...
It's the Yankees, man.
They're huge in Japan.
He knew he was playing the Yankees, and he wanted to, like, you know, go for it.
Show out.
Yeah. Oh, keep talking. I got to put some highlights on.
So, yeah, well, I mean, we need Yamamoto to come back. I mean, with all the injury-prone stuff and everybody on IL, we need someone to step up and show out. We need that key number three, maybe number four guy. Hopefully Yamamoto's it. If we get Kershaw back, maybe he's in the bullpen or a tweener.
I think right now we just got to look at
Kershaw in the bullpen.
We got to look at
Well, maybe not bullpen, but maybe they piggyback Kershaw. Okay.
Kershaw either starts or he sits on the bench and becomes a cheerleader. There's no way that you should take that guy out of the bullpen. Like, you should put him in the bullpen because he is notorious, terrible first inning pitcher. It makes no sense to have a relief pitcher come in that you know is going to be very bad his first inning. Like, yeah. He's either going to start or he's not playing.
Right?
Like, I think if there's anybody that they might piggyback with, it might be Kershaw, where Kershaw starts a game, and then maybe you have Walker Buehler coming after him.
What if you Kershaw and piggyback him with Yamamoto?
Yeah, but Yamamoto's going to start. You're not going to do that to Yamamoto. I think you'd start him. I don't know.
I just would have it in playoffs. I would have a short leash with Kershaw. That's all.
Well, I think in the playoffs you're going to have a short leash with everybody.
History has shown Roberts keeps everybody in too freaking long.
I know. I think we've hit that point now where it's.
I'll say it every freaking pod. Roberts, tight leash.
Tight leash, Roberts.
Tight leash, Roberts.
Well, I don't know if that's true because there's been times that he's pulled a guy out way too soon.
Quit reading the paper and have feel for the game, man.
They don't do that anymore.
I know, but it makes me cringe when you tell me that, Max. I don't like hearing it. I don't agree with it.
I know.
I don't either,
but that's what they do. It's the binder, the lane.
Somebody give me a major league team to manage. I want to show you how it's done.
Okay. So right now.
For now, I'll stick to the little league.
Listen, you're not wrong. Bruce Bochy did win the World Series last year.
Even though he was a Giants manager, I was a Bruce Bochy fan. All right, so you want to keep going on Yamamoto? What do you think?
I think right now the way that we should look at this rotation moving forward, it's whoever we know that's healthy, that's going to be our starting rotation. If we know a guy is definitely going to come back and he has an actual date that he's going to come back, like Yamamoto, we know Yamamoto now has a date. That means he's going to come off the IL. He's going to be part of the pitching rotation. Now we can put him in the mix as a possible pitcher that's going to be in the playoffs.
Number three, maybe.
Number two, number three, who knows? But I don't think we can count on Glass now. And to be honest with you, I don't think we can count on Kershaw either unless we get an actual definitive date when those guys are going to come back. I don't think they're in the picture. I think right now, your five guys we're talking about is Flaherty, Yamamoto now, Walker Buehler.
Gavin Stone,
and Bobby Miller.
Speaking of Bobby Miller, what's next for Bobby Miller?
So we're going to talk about Bobby Miller. Good transition.
I was waiting for that.
What's next for Bobby Miller? So Bobby Miller basically had one of the worst stat lines that I've seen in quite a while. Max, can you pull up Bobby Miller's stats for last game, please? I'm going to take you off the Fantasy Football League and you're going to do some work.
Hey, Robbie, do you believe in the sophomore slump?
I would say after looking at this season, I would think I have to.
Generally speaking, do you believe the sophomore slump?
I've never really paid attention to it that much, but the way people were talking this year, and then you look at like Carroll on over at Arizona, and then you look at the way Altman started this season, you look at what happened to Bobby Miller's first game this season was incredible. And then after that, he got in, like, I think got injured like the second or third game, and then he has been a shell of himself. I can't say a shell of himself because he's still pumping high 90s, 100 mile an hour fastballs, but something's not right.
I still think it's mental. I believe it's still mental.
It's either mental. I hear stuff about his knees not right yet. Like these little things for pitchers to not be able to hit your spots could be really crucial down the line. What always baffles me.
Maybe he broke up with his girlfriend.
Maybe. Who knows? But what it always baffles me about pitchers that throw 100 miles an hour and somehow still get rocked, it's how they don't have any movement on their pitches. I understand things have progressed so long since we played baseball as kids in high school and stuff. But we were shown ways to throw balls to have movement on them, right? So I don't understand how some Bruce Gradnall, we're going to talk about Gradnall in a little bit as well, but Gradnall also blows my mind because Gradnall throws 100, 101 miles an hour.
But the ball doesn't move.
They're pulling the baseball on him. Like they're pulling 100, 101 miles an hour. And because it's just straight. But then
you get going straight, they'll time it.
But then you've got other pitchers that are throwing 95, 94 miles an hour, and they can't touch him. Like, Vessier is a left-handed pitcher who throws 94, 95 miles an hour, throws up high in the strike zone, and that guy barely gets his fastball hit.
They have movement on their pitches.
So
here's my take on that. The guys that are throwing 100 hit the same spot when they're throwing 100. Like, they can't hit low in the zone at 100 and hit top right of the zone.
Bobby Miller, like, one of the pitches that got nailed off of him was right on the corner. Low and on the corner. It was a good pitch.
Well, then the guy hit it. Okay.
But it's like, it's just super straight. It's a super straight fastball. And it's like... And I'm hearing there's like, even like his delivery, somehow it's like a slow motion delivery where the ball is seen like up here. And then the pitchers are able to pick up on the ball earlier than they should. The hitter's able to, thank you.
You're welcome.
Da-ding. The hitter's able to pick up on it a little bit earlier because of the way he's delivering the baseball. And so I'm just curious why they're not making these corrections for him because
his arm's
going to fall off in a year anyways. You might as well get as much out of him as you possibly can before he has Tommy John surgery.
Well, the problem, I mean, your other challenge there is, If he doesn't have a great arsenal of pitches, he's got to rely on his 100 plus mile an hour fastball.
He does. He's got to change all of his strikeouts. He had 8. Max, what's that stat line? Did you pull it up yet?
Yeah.
Tell it to me.
Okay, my friend, he pitched 85 pitches, 5 hits, 7 earned runs, 3 home runs, 3 walks, 8 strikeouts, and 5 innings.
8
in the
Ks.
Loss versus the Anaheim Angels.
So it was a very efficient bad outing.
Yeah, the 3 home runs will do that to you.
The 3 home runs do that to you, but then you had 8 strikeouts, 85 pitches in five innings, which is pretty good as far as that.
He just had one bad outing or one bad inning, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, he gave up 5 runs in the first inning before they recorded an out. It was bad. And what sucks is because the first batter, he should have struck him out and he got squeezed on the call. And it looked like it kind of rattled him a little bit. He got a little pissed off about it. And then I think he hit the next batter. I didn't expect it to unravel so fast. So I was kind of like, wait, what just happened?
Robbie's telling me, we got this, come back. And then next 6-0, then 7-0.
Well, yeah, he's struggled all year. He's been struggling.
Except for that first game. Which I think was against St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis.
All right, so what do you think? Bobby Miller's left off the playoff roster, Robbie?
I mean, Bobby Miller, as right now, if Yamamoto doesn't last or if somebody else gets injured, Bobby Miller is your fourth starter. That's just the way it stacks up. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is right now. But he's the next one to get bumped for sure because he was starting to make strides, then he had a really bad outing against, you know, let's face it, a really bad offensive team that is known. This is the other thing, too, that the Angels are known for being a good fastball-hitting team. So it's kind of like he probably should have been mixing in some of the off speed and some of the, you know, breaking pitches a little bit more than the fastballs. Maybe he was giving out a tell. I don't know.
So he's got
They were sitting on that fastball. They couldn't hit anything else except for that fastball, and they were rocking it.
So what's he got? One more start, and then that's
Robert
it?
Robert said it's one more start, and I think that would probably be it. I mean, it looks like the Dodgers are kind of going with a 6-man rotation anyways right now, so that might keep him in the fold a little bit longer just to rest. I mean, I would keep him in as long as you maintain a 5-run or a 5-game, 4-game. I mean, it really depends where your standings, but if you feel confident with your lead in the NL and maybe you are going for the number 2 overalls to get that little softer playoff spot that I've been talking about, as long as you have the 1 and 2 spot overall in the National League and your number 1, obviously, in the NL West, I say you keep Bobby Miller keep that 6-man rotation. All he's doing is resting your arms that are going to be the most important in the playoffs. But so this is what's next. This is why we're talking about what's next for Bobby Miller. If their plan is to actually transition Bobby Miller into the bullpen, because if he's in the bullpen and now he's only pitching 1 inning and now he knows I don't need my arm for another 4 or 5 innings, let me let loose. I don't really know if Bobby Miller can actually hit 101, 102 miles an hour. Like if he has that extra tick in his fastball and he just leaves it all out on the line in 1 inning, he could be a really dominant, you know, pitcher in the bullpen. If that's their plan. I don't know if that's their plan. And I don't know if there's room, considering when we go through the depth chart and once we talk about Gratterall and we talk about the pitchers that are available in there, who would you knock out?
Yeah, so let's bring that up. You're saying Gratterall could come back. You think they'd have Miller and Gratterall in the bullpen possibly?
I don't know. All right, let's transition to Gratterall.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't forget to click that like and subscribe button.
Spread us like a virus.
Virus. All right. So Gratterall potentially back September 6th. Let me go ahead and look at the injury update on Gratterall. Max, can you do me a favor? Can you pull up Gratterall's last game he just had in AAA?
He allowed a run on three singles in the fifth inning, and he had one strikeout.
Did he actually pitch the entire inning? Was it a full inning?
You know what? It doesn't say.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's AAA.
Yeah, so AAA, just one inning.
Yeah.
Just the fifth. He had one strikeout and three singles for a run.
Yeah, so
I heard it wasn't great. Just getting back. It's just like spring training again, you know, working things out.
So obviously we had the scare with Gratterall. We thought it was, he pitched eight pitches.
Thought he tore it, hamstring.
Thought he tore a hamstring. It was like a grade
two strain
or something like that, or three or whatever. Got pulled back to a one. So that's good for him. I've always liked Gratterall. Gratterall, like I said before, has always been a puzzle because he has like probably one of the best arms in the bullpen, but somehow he gets hit. But it's always a lot of soft contact. You would think a guy with his arm would be in there, you know, pumping gas and striking out the side all the time. But it's not the case. Most of his outings, he doesn't even get a strikeout at all, which has always been a puzzle. But he's always been really good in the clutch. I liked him as a setup guy. He was great coming in the seventh and eighth inning. So if you look at Gratterall and then you look at obviously Kopech and you've got
your boy Evans. Kelly.
Kelly's on the IL. I didn't even realize Kelly was put on the IL.
I was gonna ask you. So you think right now Kelly's odd man out even if he wasn't on the IL.
Kelly
right?
coming back.
Yeah. So
I don't think there's any room for Kelly and his inconsistency. Right now we're so worried about the starting rotation and their inconsistency. If you add unless you have Kelly in the bullpen because you think that you might have a game where you're blowing everybody out or there's no chance to come back, which you shouldn't be thinking that at all in the playoffs. That's when you throw Kelly in. I don't think there's a spot for Kelly on this team because there's not the minimum. You know, like you can't bring in a pitcher to pitch to one guy and then bring in somebody else. So if Joe Kelly comes in and Joe Kelly's not throwing strikes, you are stuck with Joe Kelly for three batters. That's a lot of crap that could happen for three batters before you can correct that decision. I don't think there's room for him. He might come back into the bullpen and like pitch a week or two or something like that before the playoffs start. But I don't think Joe Kelly's going to be on the playoff roster. I can name eight pitchers I'd rather have on the playoff roster except for before Joe Kelly. And I'm like, you know what? I got the depth chart. I'm going to look at it right now. I'm going to do it. This is up. Here we're going. Kopech. How many can we have in the bullpen, Max?
Most times teams keep like 13 max, usually.
13?
Yeah.
That way 13
pitchers.
13 pitchers.
Yeah, 13 pitchers.
That's okay, but we're talking bullpen. No, forget about for rotation. So if we take four men are in rotation, so that means we can bring 11 pitchers
nine
in the bullpen? Nine?
Yeah.
Did I just do that math completely wrong?
Yeah, it's all right.
You said 13, right?
Yeah, but
minus
then
four.
You said four.
Oh, yeah.
So that's nine.
It's perfect. We'll just edit that out. No one's going to notice. All right, so nine. So here's my count. Kopech, Evan Phillips, Daniel Hudson, which has kind of been shaky anyways, Blake Treiden, Bonda, Vessier, Ryan Brazier. I like Michael Grove. Michael Grove, I mean, he's been a really good long reliever.
So he could be your long man.
He's been more consistent, in my opinion, than Joe Kelly has. So there's eight. And then if Gratterall comes back, there's your nine.
Yep.
You want to hear a wild card?
And then it's with Vessia and then Bonda, there's your two lefties right there.
You want to hear a wild card? Gonsolin through bullpen session about a week ago.
And then you got Gonsolin.
They're saying he might come back September 20th.
Talk about it the last minute. I mean, if he comes back, I mean, he'd be a, I mean, he may come back and pitch in the regular season for like a week or so, but I can't see him being on the playoff roster. There's no, he wouldn't be stretched out enough to be even considered to be a starter. And then I don't think the stuff that he has would play well in the bullpen. I mean, he does have like a 97 mile an hour fastball, maybe 95, but he's coming back from Tommy John surgery. So who knows where that velocity is even going to be sitting at right now.
Yeah, and I think it'd be tough to throw him in there to go lights out in the playoffs.
He's also a contact pitcher. He's not really known to be a strikeout pitcher. And I feel like you really want your bullpen stacked with strikeout pitchers.
Yeah.
And Kopech.
Do we have that right now? Well, I like Kopech. Kopech's bad.
Kopech, Phillips, Triton, Hudson.
Those four guys right there,
if they're locked in, those guys right there, if they're locked in, Kopech, Phillips, Hudson, and Triton, if they're locked in, that is probably some of the best bullpen right there. That means if you get a, if your pitcher can at least go five, you throw it to those guys, and they're on the top of their game, dude, they're going to get you another eight strikeouts.
You think Knack's got a shot at making the playoff roster?
Landon Knack?
He's starting this.
Landon Knack's taking Kershaw's start coming up.
Yeah, correct.
I don't think so. I think he's still a rookie.
He looked pretty good for a little bit, but I don't know if he's...
I don't know if they're going to take much any more rookies in there. I mean, besides, you're taking Ryan or... not River Ryan, unfortunately.
Man.
Rest his arm.
God, you just made my heart sink.
You're taking Gavin Stone as your pitcher. Is Bonda a rookie?
I don't know. He's good too, though.
I like Bonda, but I don't know.
Bonda's 31, but he spent a lot of time in the minors.
I just don't remember Bonda or anything else.
Well, sometimes some guys, they, especially relievers.
No, he's in Arizona, Tampa Bay. He's been in the league.
He's been around. I mean, there's like 10 teams he's been on.
Yeah.
Michael
Grove is probably the youngest guy that I would keep on there. Everybody else has been in the league for quite a while. But yeah, I mean, that would be my bullpen. I mean, and it does not include Joe Kelly. And all those guys have shown so much more consistency. I mean, obviously, I think Blake Trinan's still trying to find his sea legs. He's got his moments where he's a little shaky. But here's the thing with Blake Trinan, though. When he's shaky, he's still throwing strikes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not just walking in everybody, throwing balls in the dirt and, like, you know, making your catcher look ridiculous. Like, he's at least competitive. So I would rather have a pitcher who maybe he's leaving up some meatballs, but
when the ball's getting hit,
you still give your defense a chance to make a play, as opposed to you're taking the defense out of the hands of Joe Kelly. So if you bring Joe Kelly into, and he's part of your bullpen in the playoffs, I would never put him in a game. He would have to start a clean inning every single time. There's no way I would put him in there with bases loaded.
I don't trust him. He'd walk him or throw the dirt or who knows what. I will say with Trident, when he misses, he doesn't miss by much on his spots. Like a couple games ago when he pitched, he was missing by an inch.
He's competitive. I like him.
And
I thought he was going to be the Dodgers closer until he got hurt.
I think Kopech's the future of the closers. I think that's his job to lose.
Well,
come crunch time.
And I like him. He's got fire in his belly.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's going to do it for
our people.
Our player
spotlight.
Player spotlight.
Brought to you by
Max's car. Go get a Tesla.
Really?
No Teslas.
Go get an F-150 Lightning.
I like the Lightning. I wish you could afford one.
Me too, man. Me too. Max, you're up. Read this. Read your ad. Get off your fantasy football league, man.
Unbelievable.
Do something, Max. Jeez.
You're going to lose your ad spot.
Player Spotlight is brought to you by Roger Brain Media, the up-and-coming podcast company delivering top-quality content across all podcast platforms. From sports entertainment to in-depth movie and TV reviews, Roger Brain Media is your go-to for your fun and exciting content. Don't miss out. Visit their Patreon page on patreon.com/RogerBrainMedia or on their YouTube page, youtube.com/RotYourBrainMedia, to support this dynamic new company and be part of something special. Subscribe now and get ready to have your brain truly entertained.
What do you think, Max? Did you start a football podcast?
Man, I don't know.
I think you guys should. All right. Now that you've...
Well, it'll be brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media.
Yeah, they'll prove it right.
We got one of the best sound engineers in the business.
Ooh.
We haven't met him yet. All right, let's jump into Tuesday's preview. The Dodgers-Angels recap. So Dodgers win the first game on Tuesday, 6-2-2, and Ohtani is back in Anaheim.
He's going to make me.
For the first time this season. He did go there for the preseason during the Subway Series, and, you know, it wasn't the outing I think we were hoping for, but let's just say that he didn't move his stats any closer to the 50-50 club, but he did make his presence known later on in the game, which really helped Betts out, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. So what I want to talk about this game was Walker Buehler, which we touched on a little bit. He went five innings pitch, gave up five hits, two earned runs, two walks, six Ks, and two home runs. Yes, he did give up two home runs. They were both solo homers, but he looked competitive. He had the fire in him this entire game. He had enough pitches left that I think he could have won six innings, but I think they're slow playing, building him up. You could see after his outing that Dave Roberts sat next to him, gave him a little way to go guy pep talk, which was kind of nice. Dave Roberts has been the manager for the Dodgers for a long time, and he's seen what Walker Buehler can do when Walker Buehler's on. And I think Roberts really wants Walker Buehler to figure it out and be one of his options going into the playoffs.
What about Walker Buehler being our number one?
He's been
very good in the playoffs, so I totally understand why.
Yeah.
We talked about that a couple of podcasts.
If you want Walker Buehler to be number one, he's got to turn it on completely big time his next start and just be lights out for the rest of the season. He's got, like, what, three more games left, Max, of the regular season?
Yeah.
Maybe about four.
Four?
We got 25 games left in the season.
If Walker Buehler gets stretched out and he's going into six innings and he's not giving up, like, whoopsie-daisy. I mean, that run barely made it over the fence, and he's like, it was a good pitch.
Yeah, he didn't drive that ball. It was
a good pitch. He slapped at it, but he looked really good. Ohtani was 1-for-4. He had a triple in this game, an RBI. Betts, 2-for-5. Four home runs. Was a three-run homer in extra innings. Yeah, he had a stolen base. Betts, for those of you who watch us on YouTube, by the way, we're on YouTube. Check us out on YouTube. Check out our YouTube page. It's awesome. Max put a lot of time into it.
I do.
Someone did. It wasn't me. So in extra innings, Ohtani gets walked, which, in my opinion, was a very smart move on the Angels. You have a runner on second base. Ohtani's coming up. You want to put a runner on first. That means every single base, you can get an out. The Dodgers already had the lead because of Rojas. Rojas, I believe, hit in the game-winning hit. There's like a little fly in here that keeps messing with me. Anyways, so the Dodgers already had a one-run lead going into before Ohtani came up. So Ohtani gets intentionally walked to get to Betts, and Betts, there was a fire in him. And apparently, statistically, Betts has only been their batter in front of Betts has only been intentionally walked twice in his entire season or his entire career, and it happened twice to him when he was in Boston. Max, who was batting in front of Mookie Betts in Boston? That would have been intentionally walked to get to him. I'll wait.
It could have been only, batting in front of him?
In Boston.
Maybe only two people that it could have been. It would have been Devers or Big Poppy.
Big Poppy. Big Poppy was intentionally walked twice that could hit to get to Betts.
That would scare you.
That would scare you. So this is the first time it's happened for Betts being a Dodger.
But he took him yard.
And he was pissed. Very first pitch, took him yard, crushed it.
Yeah.
And there was some intensity in Betts that I haven't seen since he caught that fly ball in the World Series. He was pissed, but yet super excited, and I loved it. Anyways, that was the most exciting thing that happened in this series because we're going to go to game two. Wednesday, Dodgers lose 1-10. It was atrocious. Atrocious. Mike, hold on a second. Are you the only one paying attention? Max is on his...
I'm paying attention.
What are you talking about? I'm looking at in-depth, analytical stats here.
I'm sad.
What sport?
Baseball. All right, that's what we're here for.
I'm putting the highlights up. All right.
No, Robbie and I were... Robbie was focused. The second inning, Robbie's telling me we got to come back in us, and all I can see is just...
Well, with this lineup...
Do you seriously want me to watch a blowout Dodger game?
With the Dodger lineup, you think that they have the chance to come back in any single game, and it pisses me off that they only scored... one run this game.
They were hungover. I think
you're okay.
They were
it's one out of 162.
We talked about it. Anyways,
run through the game.
Story,
go ahead.
The main story is Bobby Miller went five innings pitch, gave up five hits, seven runs. Seven of them were earned, which that would mean all of them. Three walks, eight Ks, three home runs. His ERA is now ballooned up to 7.79. And we talked about Bobby Miller. We don't have to go too much into it. You saw a guy that his, you know, fastball's getting rocked. I think he struck out all eight batters with his changeup. There's obviously positives you could take away from this game. The only way we're going to know if you could take anything away from it is what he does in his next start. I'm sure if we counted the games, we could figure out what team he's pitching against next. I think
it's the Cubs.
Might be the Cubs.
I mean, you leave fastballs over the heart of the plate.
It's 100 miles an hour. You think it would, you know.
No, the big league gap guys, they'll catch up to it.
Only other thing they'll to talk it. About is Michael Grove. He pitched two innings, two hits, one K. He looked pretty good, solid. I mean, Michael Grove's got, he's one of those pitchers we talked about at the beginning of the season. If he could figure things out, he could be a really, really solid, could have been a solid starter. There's obviously not enough room for him right now. So he's either a bullpen piece or he's a trade piece in the offseason that can give you some nice, nice players. I mean, that's it. Nothing else to talk about. Betts went 1-for-2. Lux went 2-for-4. And other than that, it was just, it was a game that if you were watching it, all you're doing is hoping for a miracle.
Hey, you don't forget to give this episode's Ohtani watch, man.
Ohtani, I did. 50, it didn't 50. Move.
Oh, he didn't move.
No, 44. He said 44 and 46.
Doesn't he have like 46 stolen bases?
But he got that the last series. He hasn't moved. He didn't move the series.
He's got 25 games to get, what, four home runs?
I thought for sure you get one home run in the series, you get two stolen bases. He didn't get anything.
He might get it by next week.
We'll see. All right, so that does it for Dodgers-Angels recap. Brought to you by...
Do you like those two game series?
I went off on it.
No, he went off on it last week. He hates them.
The other pointless. Game, the other game when you were sleeping.
I wasn't sleeping.
You weren't here.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming you were sleeping.
I don't think there's
no reason why, in my opinion, if I'm writing a schedule, there should be any series that are four games or any series that are two games. Every series should be three games in the regular season. There's no way, because I feel like you're balancing out those four games with throwing in two games. Just make them all three games.
Well, I think it's because the...
give me your reason. I can't wait to hear it. Go.
It's not my reason. The reason is, I believe it's because the unbalance.
Well, yeah, it's not even... There is not an even amount of games.
Yeah, they're going to... That's why they're adding... They're going to add teams, so... And then they'll be able to do all that. But that's
the because
reason.
Of the... With 162 games?
Yeah.
And the team count. The total team, so... I think once they add another team,
no, you know, that's like crap.
That's then, the reason they say
make,
they
then
have
you
these
make,
weird.
Then you make one. You make one series. You make one series either a four, you know, or one series either a two, and you make it an interleague game, so no one really cares that
don't
much.
Worry,
and then
fix
everything
it.
After that's gotta be.
Oh, I can go on a rant about interleague. I hate interleague.
Oh, it's never going away.
I hate interleague. It's never going away.
Let me tell you, like
the aura of the World Series was about two teams that have never played each other.
How about what you, that shouldn't, well, what about winning the pennant, like the division, because now there's all these teams making the wild card and those wild card teams go to the World Series. It's like winning the division is not even that important anymore.
I understand what you're talking about, Mike. I was not a fan of it to begin with or in the beginning, but the way I look at it, when we were kids, if there was no interleague play, there's no way that we would have saw, unless you're an Angel fan, bummer, you wouldn't have saw on Frank Thomas, Ken Griffey Jr., all those awesome stud players in the American League, they would have never went to Dodger Stadium. You would have never seen them play.
Yeah.
And that's what they look at now. They look at...
I never saw him play.
Well, that's on you. You could have saw him.
You never saw Aaron Griffey Judge run into a wall in L.A. because you're not going to see him in the World Series because they suck.
Griffey and Thomas played at Dodger Stadium?
I don't think Thomas did, but Griffey did.
When he's with the Reds, maybe?
No, when Griffey went back to the... No. No, the interleague might have started before Griffey left.
No, afterwards. There's no way.
I'm trying to remember, but Griffey did come here and play when he was in Seattle the second time, I know for sure.
Yeah, interleague started when he was in Seattle.
The first time or second time?
Not the first time.
The first time, interleague started in the mid-90s.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't think
it was very limited.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Dude, if only we had a stat guy that could figure this out.
Yeah, look up this nonsense.
I'm pretty sure.
Hey, while you look that up, let's run back to Bobby Miller's next starts Wednesday, 9/11 against Chicago.
Okay. I mean,
You know what? Okay, so here's what makes me nervous. I know we're jumping ahead.
No, that's fine.
But here's what's going to make me nervous about our pitching matchup. Yamamoto's going to get his first start back Tuesday night, 9-10. And then Bobby Miller's going to pitch the following night. The only reason why that makes me nervous is we could drop both those games if those guys don't pitch well.
I have a feeling that this organization will be aware that that's a possibility, and then they'll have already, like, Landon Knack back up to take a spot. Like, you know,
sure.
So that way, if someone's rough in the first inning, they'll pull him out.
I mean, we're up six games in the division, but it depends. We can't afford to lose a series.
Yeah, I think it just depends on where we're sitting and, like, how short of a leash these guys are going to get. Really, you're going to let Yamamoto stay in to figure things out. I think if Yamamoto's getting, not crushed, but let's just say he gives up like one run the first inning, and then the second inning he gives up two, and then the next inning he gives up one. But
if he's only giving up three or four innings, or three or four runs, you leave him in.
Yeah.
Let him try to battle it out.
Yeah, but he's figuring things out. If he's that important of a piece for us in the playoffs, they're going to let him figure it out.
You got to. What's your strategy, Robbie, coming into the back half of the season with 25 games left in on your pitching? Do you rest guys and take the foot off the gas a little bit, or do you push them hard? I mean,
you stick with a 6-man rotation. You rest them as much as possible, but you obviously make sure that they all, like, every game is meaningful. I think adding an extra day of rest for all these pitchers is going to benefit them a lot. But then they're also, when they hit that 6-day, they're in competitive mode. It's not like we have a 10-game, 15-game lead or something like that. So they're coming in and they're keeping the juices flowing. I think that's what I would do, is make sure that you keep it at a 6-man. And I would, if you could, I mean, obviously, because you're still trying to maintain a lead. So that's the problem with, you know, I would say that's a manager's biggest strategy issue. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, throughout the regular season, but
challenge. There you go.
Especially in September, is if you're battling for a spot for the playoffs, but then you also want to rest your players to make sure that they're ready for the playoffs. So that's always the toughest challenge. Not having certain pitchers pitch back to back, but then if they're your most reliable pitchers and you don't want to lose a game up in the standings, do we throw them in an extra inning? Do we leave them in? Like, those are the things where we're going to see a lot of us questioning things, but then having to look at it and go, oh yeah, they're trying to make sure that guy can still pitch. They're trying to make sure that guy can still run, whatever, because the playoffs are actually what's most important. So even if that means the Dodgers for some reason fall, you know, let me ask you this, Mike, would you rather be first in the West, but go in down a pitcher, down one of our key offensive hitters? Or would you rather come in second place, have to go in the wild card for a crap 3-game, but everybody's healthy?
No, you need to win the division.
You'd rather go in with one of your legs cut off?
No, strategically, this is, and for me, and I'm not. I mean,
let me tell you, I don't care. I don't care to be first place anymore in the West. I don't care. I want a ring. Whatever's going to get us, like, it's like, just make the playoffs healthy. That's what's most important to me.
Everybody's healthy.
No excuses.
Here's my rebuttal to that.
Rebut.
You brought it up a couple podcasts ago. The bats didn't come alive against Arizona last season. I don't think the Dodgers, given that history of offense, need to be in a wild card round to where it's critical that they get hit at critical times. If it were me and I was managing the Dodgers, I would have my starters go 4-ish innings, maybe 5. Don't go full 6 on the back half of the last 20 games of the season and start working with my middle relief. Because right now our middle relief is struggling, and I think they need more innings to get their CRAP together to be efficient once they get into the division, into the playoffs.
We
can
say crap. We just can't say the
follow what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to overpitch them because, you know, everybody's been pitching all year. Their legs are probably a little bit tired. You want them to be able to go 6, but I would take it easy. Like, give them 4 and 5 innings if we can. Maybe towards the last series or two, depending on our divisional lead, let them go 6 or 7 innings based on their pitch count. And then I wouldn't
That's interesting because a lot of teams, they look at it the other way, that the relief pitchers are the ones that are usually tired and been pitching all season long that need the break to get fresh for the postseason.
Well, I would agree with that.
A lot of bullpens get overworked.
Well, so I would agree with that. The only challenge that Dodgers have right now is every other week one of our starters is on IL.
But you guys have like 10 good starters.
I know, but eight of the 10 are on IL.
Look at this depth chart. Look at this depth chart. If you look at our pitching, oh, man. Yeah.
Clay Kershaw. That's how I would do it.
Yeah, Clay Kershaw, IL. Yamamoto, IL. Yeah, Tyler Glasnow, IL. Tony Gonsolin, IL. River Ryan, IL. Dustin May, IL. Like, those are some really good pitchers.
Yeah, but you guys still have a lot of really good pitchers every night.
Jack Flaherty, Gavin Stone, Walker Buehler,
pretty good pitchers.
Bobby Miller, Flaherty, Knack.
Flaherty's our ace. That was a good free agent pickup.
Yeah. Listen, your organization knows what they're doing. They have
Max, you're part of the organization. It's our organization.
They have depth.
Depth doesn't do any good if people are hurt.
What do you mean?
Depth does good because they're
that's
hurt.
That's why you guys are in first place.
What I mean by that is if all of your depth is injured,
they have enough. They have more than enough. That's why you guys are in first place. Because guys go down, you got somebody coming in, and you guys are still winning games. So I don't think it's a worry.
Well, that's my take on the last 25 games and how you'd play it out strategically.
No, I get it. It's cool. I get that.
I feel like until we get to the playoffs, like I hope they hit like they did against the Arizona series. That's the team that needs to show up first round of playoffs. And I don't have confidence that we can go into the wild card because I think they'd be nervous and not aggressive.
Nervous.
Okay.
I just don't have faith in them to come in with an attitude with their backs against the wall. They haven't proven it yet.
Hey, Max.
You want to know about Griffey and interleague play?
Yeah, when did interleague start?
So interleague started in 1997, the year that Griffey actually won the MVP, and they did play the Dodgers.
I know. I had a chance to go to that game.
He hit a home run in that first game
he played against the Dodgers. I had a chance to go to that game, and I did not go to that game. Oh. This, my entire life, one of my biggest regrets being a baseball fan is I never, ever saw Griffey play live, and he was my favorite player.
He had 16 home runs versus the Dodgers, by the way.
You know, some would say my swing was reminiscent of King Griffey Jr.
Oh, nice. You're a lefty?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I used to go, I had warning track power, but I had a pretty swing.
Nobody wants to hear what your dad said about your swing.
My dad. Another funny story, my dad is not a sports person.
Really?
At all. None whatsoever.
Oh, interesting.
No. Doesn't. I mean, he'll watch it, but he
doesn't really.
No.
Casual fan.
Dad doesn't know stats, doesn't know teams really, doesn't none of that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right. Let's preview the Cleveland.
I hit bombs in the league softball.
Guardians are overrated. They're not as good as people. Just because they're in first place doesn't mean they're that
good.
You
got to talk about them. I made a highlight.
Definitely not impressed.
No, Guardians? Not impressed?
Come on, man.
I made a highlight for them.
We don't watch the American League, dude.
Yeah, they're not that great, man.
Max,
Their ace is out. One of the best things they do is pitch, but their batting order is extremely manageable. Ramirez is a phenomenal player. Great third baseman. Might be one of the best in the league. If you can avoid him, everybody else. It's not that difficult, and their pitching is they got but they do have a world class closer. So if they get the lead on you, Class A will shut you down. That's it. So you think
what are the pitching matchups?
Pitching matchups: bunch of bums versus the Dodgers. That's what the pitching matchup.
Well, we just faced a bunch of bums, and they looked amazing. So
that's different.
Angels pitching looked incredible against the Dodgers.
That's a thing about that. They have, so the Guardians, I was going to say the Indians.
The Indians. Great, now we got to beep that out.
Why do we have to beep that out?
oh, man.
Why do we have to beep that out?
So we got, I'll tell you, it's Knack versus Boyd.
Okay. Yeah,
Boyd. Stone versus.
Boyd is young. He has a 2.38 ERA.
Then we got Stone versus Cobb.
Okay.
Cobb is 4.36 ERA. Again, they're piecemealing some of these guys together.
Flaherty versus Williams.
And Williams has that crazy curveball, but It's 4.99 ERA. He's extremely hittable too.
Max, what's your prediction for the series?
Honestly, if you guys should sweep these guys, because like Cleveland just came off of a pretty bad stretch of baseball, and the Royals almost caught up to them in Minnesota, and then they played the Royals and kind of knocked the Royals back down to earth, and the Royals got one of their best players got hurt, and they lost a bunch of games. That's the only reason why Cleveland is still in first place, because they were about to lose that division. They're not as good as everybody thinks they are. You guys could sweep them.
We can sweep them, Max.
We can sweep them.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Talking Dodgers. Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
Don't forget to check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/rotyourbrainmedia. Help support this podcast. All of your contributions help us create this exciting content that you love, that you stay up all night listening to, waiting for new episodes to air, that you cannot wait to talk to your neighbor about. That's us. Okay, you guys want to add anything else to this?
Support Talking Dodgers, the number one podcast in LA.
Also, if you're interested in advertising on this podcast, which we forgot to talk about that throughout the entire episode, Max, we have that email ready yet? Do we know what that email is yet?
I told you it the first day. info@rotyourbrainmedia.com.
All right, if you're interested in advertising in this episode, go to that email that Max just talked about.
info@rotyourbrainmedia.com, or drop us a DM in any one of our social media.
There you go.
Social media. Not platforms, social media pages.
All right, we'll catch you next time.
So more important question, Mike, who should I start on Sunday? Should I go with... No, it was just a joke.
No, I got... No, right. Now I want to answer.
I was just making that up. You think I was doing fantasy football?
I know, we're all right. Hey, go Dodgers.